Teacher's Pet by Johanna Hurwitz. Chapter 1. It was the first day of school. Cricket Kaufman liked to plan ahead. For 3 weeks, she had known what she would wear to school today, and she had bought all her school supplies over a week ago. Cricket loved buying a new notebook and new crayons and new pencils. Everything felt clean and smooth to her touch. At home, she had even enjoyed smelling the new notebook. But of course she wouldn't do a thing like that sitting here at her desk. The other kids in her fourth grade class would think she was weird. Cricket loved school. She loved her teachers, and every year since she had been in kindergarten, her teachers had loved her. It was no wonder. No student was more perfect than Cricket Kaufman. She was dependable and helpful student who always paid attention and behaved like an angel. Her papers were always neat, and her homework was always completed. She wasn't like those goof-offs, Lucas Cott and his sidekick, Julio Sanchez, who were sitting in the back row. Cricket knew it would only take a short while until Mrs. Schrallenberg, her new teacher, realized how lucky she was to have Cricket in her class. All of the teachers who had ever had Cricket in their classes had called her a joy. She was always the teacher's pet. Cricket looked around to see who else was in Miss Schrallenberg's class. She recognized everyone because even if they hadn't been in third grade with her last year, they had been with her in second grade class the year before. There were three sections of each grade, and each year the children were moved from one section to another. When Cricket was in the first and second grades, Mary Claire Shea had been in classes with Cricket and had been her best friend. But Mary Claire had moved away during the summer after second grade, and Cricket had been without a best friend all during third grade. But that year, Cricket's sister Monica had been born. Someday, Monica would be big enough to be a friend, and then it wouldn't matter anymore if Cricket had a special friend at school or not. As she sat waiting for the school to begin, Cricket quietly turned the ring on her finger around and around. The ring had been a special gift from her parents when Monica was born. Cricket had wanted a ring for as long as she could remember, but her mother had always said that if she had one, she would probably lose it. Mrs. Kaufman presented Cricket with a tiny box on the day that Monica came home from the hospital. Inside was a silver ring with a dark red stone. "It's your birthstone," her mother explained. "It's a garnet because you were born in January." The ring fit perfectly on the middle finger of Cricket's right hand. "Whatever you do, don't take your ring off," Miss Kaufman had warned her daughter. "That's the best way to lose it." Cricket certainly did not want to lose her new ring. She was very proud of it. So, although she sometimes took the ring off at home, she was very careful never to take it off at school. But often, when she was sitting quietly at her desk, she turned it around and around on her finger. Mrs. Schrallenberg entered the room. She was very tall and had curly white hair. Cricket had heard that she was really strict, but Cricket wasn't afraid of her. Cricket was such a good student that she even got along with the strictest teachers, who gave the most homework. Cricket liked doing her homework. It kept her busy on the afternoons when she didn't have piano lessons. Behind Mrs. Schrallenberg came a girl that Cricket had never seen before. She must be a new student in the school, Cricket thought. Cricket wondered if this girl was as smart as she was. She doubted it. She had always been the smartest person in her class. The new girl sat in a front seat right across from Cricket. Cricket liked sitting in front because that way she had a better chance of being chosen as a monitor to deliver messages or run errands for her teacher. Sometimes teachers seated the students according to size. Other teachers used alphabetical order, but Mrs. Schrallenberg told them that they could sit wherever they wished for the first week. Of course, Lucas and Julio took seats in the last row. Cricket had known they would do that. Before Mrs. Schrallenberg began to call the roll, she said, "I know many of you from seeing you around the building when you were younger, and some of you have older siblings who were in my class in the past." "Siblings?" Julio called out. "What's that?" "Who knows what?" Cricket's hand was waving in the air. "I haven't even finished my question," said Mrs. Schrallenberg. "Why are you raising your hand?" "Because I know the answer," said Cricket. "She always knows the answers," said a voice from the back. That was Lucas Cott speaking. Cricket smiled at this recognition from her classmate. She wanted to be a lawyer when she grew up, and always knowing the answer and reacting quickly were important to her. "Very well," said Mrs. Schrallenberg. "What is my question and what is the answer?" "You were going to ask what a sibling is," said Cricket, "and the answer is that it's a brother or a sister." "You are absolutely correct," said the teacher. She smiled at Cricket, and Cricket smiled back at her. "There," she thought to herself, "I've only been in fourth grade for 5 minutes, but Mrs. Schrallenberg already knows how smart I am." The teacher began calling the names of the students. "Connie Alf?" "Here," said Connie, waving her hand. "Lisa Benson?" "Here," Lisa called out. "Hope Dubbin?" Name by name, Mrs. Schrallenberg called the roll. "Cricket Kaufman?" "Present," Cricket called out. She always said present instead of here. It sounded more grown up. "I wouldn't give her a present," a voice called out. "Who said that?" asked Miss Schrallenberg, standing up and looking around. Cricket's face turned red. She knew who said it. She also knew that Mrs. Schrallenberg couldn't recognize the voices of the fourth graders yet. "That was Julio," said Cricket. She hoped he would get in a lot of trouble now. "We don't want tattletales in our class," said Mrs. Schrallenberg sharply, and she looked at Cricket. "But we do want good manners and polite behavior. I do not want to hear any of you speaking out unless I call on you first. Is that understood?" "Yes, Miss Schrallenberg," said some of the students. Cricket felt awful. The teacher had asked who had spoken, and when Julio wouldn't admit it, Cricket had told on him. It was bad enough that he had said something nasty about her, but instead of scolding Julio, Mrs. Schrallenberg had made it seem as if Cricket had done something wrong. It wasn't fair. "Zoe Mitchell," said the teacher, returning to roll call. "Here," said a voice from across the aisle from Cricket. "Zoe, please stand up a moment so that everyone can see who you are," said Mrs. Schrallenberg. "Zoe has just moved to town and is new to our school. We're delighted that you were able to make it for the first day," said the teacher. "Since you are new, why don't you tell the rest of your class something about yourself?" Zoe stood up. Instead of looking around shyly the way most of the kids would have if they had been asked to speak, she smiled and started talking. "My mother and my older sister Hallie, who is in sixth grade, and I just moved here because my mother remarried. Now I have a new stepfather and step-grandparents, and we live in a new house. And I have my own room, too," she added. "Excellent," said Mrs. Schrallenberg, smiling at Zoe. "Welcome to our school and our town. We're happy to have you here." Cricket looked across at her new classmate as she sat down. She wasn't sure she was so happy to have her here. She sounded too stuck up. When roll call was completed, Mrs. Schrallenberg had many announcements to make. One of the things she said was that this year the school was planning to collect soup can labels. When enough labels were sent to the company that had made the soup, the school would be given audiovisual equipment. With a lot of soup labels, the school might have a new film strip machine or cassette player. "A good thing to do would be to ask your friends and relatives to start saving these labels, too," said Mrs. Schrallenberg. "That way we'll get even more." Cricket made a mental note to ask her mother to serve more soup to the family. After the announcements, Mrs. Schrallenberg picked several of the boys to help her pass out the textbooks. Lugging the books around was not something that Cricket cared about, but Zoe leaned over and whispered to her, "That's very sexist of her. Girls are strong enough to carry those books, too." Cricket had never thought of that. Soon the morning was over, and it was lunchtime. "The lunchroom smells the same as last year," thought Cricket, as the students rushed in and took seats around the tables. Cricket put her lunchbox down and hurried to the milk line. Today, because it was the first day of school, her mother had said that she could buy chocolate milk. Back at the table, Cricket discovered that she was sitting next to Zoe. "Look what I have," said the new girl, unwrapping a piece of aluminum foil. Inside the foil was a huge pickle. "Lucky you," called out Hope. "Do you want a bite?" Zoe offered. She passed the pickle down toward Hope. Cricket wrinkled her nose. She didn't like pickles. She couldn't even stand the smell of them. "Can I have a bite too?" asked Lisa. "Sure," said Zoe. "It's big enough so that everyone can have some." "You'll get germs if you let so many people take bites of your pickle," said Cricket. "It's worth the risk," said Hope, crunching down on her mouthful of pickle. "It's wonderful." "Mm-hmm," Lisa agreed. The pickle was passed from hand to hand around the table. Everyone took a nibble of it. When it reached Cricket, she passed it on to Zoe. "Don't you want any?" asked Zoe. "Are you afraid of all our germs?" "I don't like pickles," Cricket admitted. She wiped the hand that touched the pickle on her napkin. She hoped she wouldn't smell like pickle for the rest of the afternoon. "You don't know what you're missing. This is wonderful," said Zoe, taking a bite. "When was the last time you tasted a pickle?" Cricket shrugged her shoulders. She couldn't remember. Maybe she had never tasted a pickle. She just knew she didn't like them. "Come on," urged Zoe, handing the pickle back to Cricket. "Take a tiny bite. I'll bet you love it." "It was delicious," said Hope. "I'm going to ask my mother to put a pickle in my lunch tomorrow."
"Me too," said Lisa.
"We could have a pickle club, and every day somebody else could bring a pickle for lunch," suggested Zoe.
"That's a great idea," said Hope, licking her fingers.
Cricket took the pickle from Zoe. She didn't want to be left out. Maybe if she took just a very small bite of the pickle, it wouldn't be too bad. She put it to her mouth and took the tiniest bite possible. The shred of sour pickle landed on her tongue. It tasted worse than it smelled. It was horrible. Cricket felt her eyes rolling back into the back of her head as she gagged into her napkin. "I guess you can't be in the pickle club," said Zoe, taking back her pickle. Cricket took a long drink of her chocolate milk through the straw, but the sour taste remained in her mouth. Who'd want to be in a pickle club, she thought to herself. It was the stupidest thing she had ever heard of. All during the rest of the lunch period, Cricket was in a bad mood. She had been looking forward to school so much, and now that it had begun, things weren't going at all the way she had imagined them. She turned her ring around and around on her finger and thought about the morning. Zoe was talking to the other girls at the table as if she had known them all her life. Cricket looked at Zoe and wondered why she had been put in Miss Schrallenberg's section of fourth grade. Why couldn't she have been assigned to one of the other classes? She blamed Zoe for both the bad taste in her mouth and the bad feeling that she had. Even if all the other girls seemed to like her, Cricket did not like the new girl at all.